The following recording is copyright 2014, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
You and I are closer to some people than we are to others. We have acquaintances, friends, and loved ones. We share some things with everybody, and more personal things with our friends. But we reserve our most intimate moments for those who know us best and are in the best position to understand when something unexpected or troubling happens in our lives. Jesus was closer to three of his followers than he was to the others. He had many disciples. He had a group of 12 men, later called apostles. And then he had Peter, James, and John. He shared some things with all of his followers, more personal things with those 12, for instance, the Last Supper. But he reserved his most intimate moments for his three best friends. His most glorious moments, like the Transfiguration in today's gospel, and his most painful moments, like the agony in the garden. They knew Jesus the best and the price he was paying to do the Father's will. They knew who he was on the inside, his courage, also his fears, which will make Peter and James's abandonment of Jesus on Good Friday particularly painful. But John did stay with him all the way to the end. And so was the only apostle who ended up dying of natural causes. Why? Maybe because he had already experienced a certain type of martyrdom, spiritual martyrdom, by risking his life to stay with Jesus there at the foot of the cross. Peter and James ended up dying for Christ later, finally embracing the cross that they had earlier tried to flee. That's the underlying message of Jesus' transfiguration. Today, Peter, James, and John see Jesus transfigured in glory, his face shining like the sun, his clothes white as light. Later, they will see him transfigured with pain, sweating blood during his agony in the garden, whipped and crowned with thorns on Good Friday, his body broken but not his spirit, which remained courageously resolute to do his Father's will completely. And then finally on Easter Sunday, they will see him transfigured in glory once again, as on the day of his transfiguration, but now bearing in his resurrected body the wounds by which you and I were healed. And it's only then that it will all begin to make sense. Jesus' glorious identity as the Son of God, who will save us by means of a very unglorious death, which is something that they were not quite ready to understand yet at this point in the Gospels. Which is why, as they were coming down from the mountain of his transfiguration, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." It's a powerful message for every one of us gathered here today. God has a special place for each of you in his plan, which you will find deep inside yourself, residing at a very vulnerable place where God touches your heart most deeply. For this reason, it will initially be very difficult to risk sharing this deep truth that, when shared with others, leaves you in a certain sense transfigured before their eyes. They will think of you differently than they did before. You may even want them to keep it secret at first, like Jesus did, for fear that others might not understand. And then once your trust in Jesus grows to the point that you find the courage to share this truth about God's call in your life, whatever it is, you can be sure that someone will make fun of you. Just like Jesus. And others may say hurtful things, maybe just out of ignorance. For instance, when I finally got up the nerve to tell my religion teacher in 11th grade that I thought Jesus might be calling me to the priesthood, her response was, "Don't be flippant. That's something sacred you're making fun of." You could tell I wasn't much transfigured before her eyes. She apparently thought I was too cheerful to be a priest. But I'm pretty hard to offend. I figured she must be having a bad day and that my pious qualities apparently didn't show up very much on the outside. But it was something I felt deeply. I made myself vulnerable in sharing something very private, and it felt like a bucket of cold water had just been thrown in my face. The Holy Spirit gives us four gifts to help us to discern God's will: wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge. And three gifts to help us then go do it. Okay? Fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Seven gifts in all. I pray that you will draw on these gifts to discern God's will for your life, which, when you do respond, will leave you transfigured before the eyes of others.